Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining me here on the Word Podcast. It is the second day of January, 2024. Yeah, just, you know, keeping abreast here of the new year a little bit. Usually I don't give us timing elements on this because I know a lot of folks listen to these things much later than the actual origination date. But we press on in the Psalms, and we're up to the third Psalm. And as I said earlier, when there's shorter Psalms like this, I think I'm going to try to read the entire Psalm, then we'll back up and look at some things. There's eight verses to this Psalm. And this one is really, really, and I'm probably going to say this every time, right? This was really useful, really profound, really everything like that, okay? If nothing else, let me ask you this question. How do you respond when things don't go well? What do you do when you feel like the entire world is turned against you? You know, what do you do? What do you do, not only the world is turned against you, but your family and friends have? And this Psalm right here has a title to it. And the titles of the Psalms, we've talked a little bit about it. We may talk more as we go through. But they're useful. And sometimes they're pulled out in some translations. Then it'll say verse 1. Sometimes the title are included in verse 1. For instance, in ESV right here, the title is in the first verse. And it says this, a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Oh, so what's the context? He's fleeing from Absalom, his son. And we'll look at that later. Maybe we'll be able to get to it today. I'm not sure. But would that be a problem? Something has arisen right here to where David feels like he needs to flee from his son. And so this is what he wrote at that moment in his life. Continuing verse 1. Oh, Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. So let me pause right there. That's the first sentence, the first two verses. And you notice the repetition. He has many foes. He has many people who are rising against him. Many are saying something of him. Here's what they're saying. They're saying there is no salvation for him in God. In other words, there's no hope for David. Even in God, there is no hope. And then it has this phrase, Selah, S-E-L-A-H. I know some people pronounce it Selah. That's fine, but I think it's Selah. And you see this all through the Psalms, and we simply do not know what it means. Okay? It's used very frequently. Some people think it may be a musical term. I think it is. Other people think it's liturgical instructions and directions. I think that's true. Also, sometimes it may mean, hey, take an instrumental ride right there. In other words, play an instrumental solo. Other times it may mean to think about this, meditate upon this. I think a lot of times the context of the verse will drive what you would do when you see a Selah. But let's press on verse 3. David's still speaking. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And let me just pause to say, I dare say, most of us could probably sing two or three songs with that line in it right there. We're familiar with that. Verse 4, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. Verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Selah. So do you see the rough idea of what's going on right here? David's got a problem. Many have risen against him, and he says, Selah. Then he comes back, but. So God, I've got these many thousands who have arisen against me, but you are what? You are a shield about me. You are my glory. You are, Lord, the lifter of the head. And out of that, I'm going to do something. So what did he do? He cried aloud to the Lord. He cried out to him. And he said, the Lord answered me from his holy hill. The Lord answered me from where he was. Selah. Think on that. Meditate upon that. Rejoice in that. Be dumbfounded by that, whatever it means. And out of that, David says this, you know what? I lay down and I slept. I'm at total peace. I lay down to sleep. I wake up again, but the Lord sustained me. And that is our pattern of life, folks. Do we lay down in peace and sleep? If we arise again, we simply arise, we wake up because the Lord sustained us. If the Lord didn't sustain us, then he took us home to glory. Then he says this, I will not be afraid. So he cried out, I cried out, I lay down, I woke up, I will not be afraid. Was there something to be afraid of? Well, yeah, his son was against him. But he had determined, he said, God, I'm turned over to you. Lord, you arise. You save me. You strike my enemies. Because salvation belongs to you. And you're the one that brings blessing to your people. And so on the next episode, we'll back up and we'll look more detail some of this. But let me go up to the first verse right now, just where we can set the context even better. Well, this whole thing, when it said that he fled Absalom, listen to the account in 2 Samuel 15. David said to all of his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us and strike the city and the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said to the king, so David's king at this time, folks, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides. So the king went out and all of his household after him, and the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. And the king went out and all the people after him, and they halted at the last house. So we've just finished looking at the life of David, as a matter of fact, and we went through that account right there several, probably weeks, months ago, of what occurred there. So perhaps you remember it. But David is king. David could have put up a fight right there and could have totally destroyed the rebellion that came against him. But he didn't want to kill his son. He also did not want to kill the people that would be involved in this civil war. He also did not want to bring destruction upon the city of Jerusalem that type of defense would have brought. So he chose to flee. He chose to leave and to take just about everybody with him and flee, and everybody who wanted to go with him. There were some who wanted to go with him that he would not let go. He left them behind as spies, if you remember the account, right? And so, but David decided, I'm just going to flee. I'm going to flee from my son who's trying to overthrow me and usurp my king. That is the context of what's going on right here. That's the reason that David comes back and says, how many are the foes that have arisen against me? Okay? Because later on, the 2 Samuel says that this conspiracy, as it's described, grew strong and the people with Absalom kept increasing. That's the reason David said that they're rising against me, many more, many more, many more. And these many were literally saying, hey, there's no salvation for him at all. Chapter 16, they said that. There's no salvation for him. God's not with him anymore. Little did they know God. Right? Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in the next episode.